Alrighty, here we are, and another thing. So I have a couple of different subjects that I want to talk about here, and one of them is going to be the third-party candidates, and you guys mentioned, or Molly mentioned Jill Stein. So first of all, I want to ask both of you, who did you want to be president this time around?
I wanted Jill Stein because that's what my family wanted.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Anime?
I wanted Jill Stein because she seemed to me the most practical and the most honest as far as I'm concerned, and the most just thinking about everything has, I don't know how to say this, everything that you do, something is going to come out of it. And you really need to, like, think about what you're going to say you're going to do and what you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's going to affect not only the people, but also, like, the environment and how people are going to react to that. And, yeah, that was what I thought.
Well, you know, there's something I want to bring this up, and partly because you guys are young. And, you know, you guys are the future. So you guys are going to be eventually one day, maybe not in a political sense, but you're the ones who are going to take over. And what I saw in this election in our own, you know, with liberals and progressives, and I've, you know, I saw this on the conservative side too, the Tea Party came into the conservative side several years ago and their party kind of split. And I think that's kind of happening right now with liberals and Democrats. I think we're seeing some differences of opinion in how the party should be run and who should be running the country. And so in the meantime, the way our system is set up is that we've got these two parties, and it's going to be one or the other at this point in the game. So right now, some third party person can come along that can be absolutely fantastic. But the reality is, the way things are set up, it's just not going to happen. So if you cast your vote for that third party candidate, right now they're acting as a spoiler. But meaning that they're going to take votes away from, let's say, I'm going to circle back to this in a second, but they're going to take votes away. So let's say Hillary Clinton is the Democrat. And then so if you don't completely hate her guts and you would have voted for her if there were no other options, then the third party, Jill Stein, would take away from Hillary Clinton. Maybe you don't like Hillary Clinton at all and you're never going to vote for her, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But there's something, and this is why I'm bringing it up, that you're younger, maybe your generation can bring this in. There's something called ranked choice voting. And I think this is really cool because what it means is you get to, I'm gonna read directly, I found this on a website. On election day, all first choices are counted. You've got three choices, so you rank them. So let's just say my first choice is Jill Stein. So you write Jill Stein number one, Hillary Clinton number two, and then maybe the other guy, Gary Johnson, who was another third-party candidate, he's number three because no one wanted Donald Trump. So what would wind up happening is if a candidate receives a majority of first choices, they win, just like in any other election. However, if no candidate has a majority, the last place candidate is eliminated and votes would go to the next and up. So the beauty of this is that you can vote your conscience. You're not going to necessarily wind up with someone like Donald Trump. And the people, the liberals and progressives, can all like get along, because right now what I'm seeing is they are fighting. And while I am all for criticizing government and criticizing or asking more from our representatives, right now the way our system is set up, it's all or nothing. And I don't think that helps us. So I know I just gave you a lot of information. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I think that sounds really great. Like, that would be I think people would find it easier to vote that way.
Yeah.
Because they could express their, like, multiple choices.
Right.
And not feel horrible if all of a sudden, oh, no, I made the wrong choice. Like, so, back in November, I was talking about if I had the choice to vote, I would prefer Jill Stein. But also, I thought Hillary Clinton and Gary Johnson weren't bad choices. And I was thinking, if I were to vote for who I wanted, which would be Jill Stein,
mm-hmm.
there's no chance that she would win. So should I vote for her, or should I vote for Hillary Clinton and have there be a better choice or chance of her winning the election?
Yeah.
Because I know that Jill Stein's probably going to get roughly 3% of the vote.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, it makes it really difficult because then you don't feel like you can vote for who you want.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, there, I think Maine, the state of Maine has implemented this third party, I'm sorry, the ranked choice voting, and a couple other states have it in their, whatever, I can't even think of the word right now, but you know what I mean? A couple other states do this, but I think the whole country should do it because it's just like you said, right now it's just, the word is viable. It's not a viable, a third party isn't going to get, enough votes to win. And, yeah. you know, the truth of the matter is somebody in my family works for a big news corporation, and she obviously is very smart when it comes to politics, and she knows what's going on. And when I mentioned the name Jill Stein to her, she said, "Who's that?" So, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, the way our system is set up right now, it's kind of difficult for, a third party to make a difference. And then sometimes what it does, sadly, is it divides our base. And then, you know, when you have a big portion of people that might have voted for the Democrat and then they don't this time, we see something like Donald Trump happening. Although Donald Trump is very different than most Republicans. So,
yeah.
There's that.
Yeah, I think that they should give the other groups more votes. Like, a lot of people like the other groups, but there's also a lot of Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, well, right now there's more because that's the way it's been set up for so many years. So, and we may or we may not ever see a real third party emerge. That's really just going to depend on the people. You know, it really just depends on if there's enough support for any one particular third party candidate. That can build a whole third party. So I mean, it would take a lot for something like that to happen. And at this point, like right today, it's not realistic. But moving forward, there are all kinds of things that we can do to change the system over time. You know, for the benefit of the people. But that's just something that your generation, you know, and the generations that are young now can start working on. But it means getting involved. Whether it's, you know, because sometimes when you hear that people should get involved in politics, sometimes it's all about, like, people think in terms of running for Senate or House of Representatives, but really it could be running for your school boards or city council or working with your local community and community organizing. It's something that everybody can do or get involved in if you have an interest in it. Okay, so there's that. What I want to kind of switch gears now, and I want to talk to you guys about feminism. And I have some questions for you regarding feminism. First of all, and I'm going to give this to Anime, but then I'd like to hear what Molly has to say, is do you know what feminism is?
Feminism or feminist?
Well, either one.
Okay, well, I think it would just be easier to say a feminist is someone who wants equal rights for both genders.
Right. And also equal rights legally, and also there's the social aspect. Like,
yeah.
You know, you don't want them to say, oh, men-only restaurant or something like that.
Yeah.
And do you consider yourself a feminist?
I do.
What about you, Molly?
I think that girls should have rights, and if boys have rights, girls should too. If girls have rights, so should boys.
There you go. And what were you going to say, Anime?
Yeah, basically what she was going to say, that I think that society today, we have like a lot of feminists right now, and it's getting better, but it's still not all businesses or just basically businesses. Like how people get paid or who gets hired.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all equal or fair.
Right. And do you see anybody, or like do your classmates or friends ever talk about stuff like this?
Occasionally.
What do they say?
A lot of them, actually all of them, are all for it. They think that equal rights should be human rights, mm-hmm. just like everybody, especially just like genders.
Yeah.
We're all the exact same people, we're the same species. Like, you don't see the gray cat getting adopted before the brown cat just because it's gray.
Yeah.
Things like that. It's like everybody should get an equal share, no matter who they are, because we're all the same.
Yeah, equal opportunity. We should all have the same opportunities.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Molly? Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. But even like my friends are fourth graders.
Mm-hmm.
They're not very fond of boys, but they still agree that boys have rights.
That's funny. Yes, boys should have rights. So let me ask you guys this. Do you think,
actually, a lot of the boys at my school said it would be cool to have a first woman president.
Really?
And a lot of them said that they were going to vote for Hillary because they want a president.
Yeah.
If they could, they would.
Do you believe that women are equal in America?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we believe that they should be equal or that they are currently equal?
That they are currently.
Are currently?
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Why?
I thought you meant should be.
Okay. So my question is, are women and men equal in America?
No.
And why do you say that?
Because women aren't offered as many of the same jobs as men.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes like it won't be normal for them to have that job according to society, or they don't get paid the same amount for the same job that men get paid mm-hmm. for. They'll get paid less for doing the exact same or more work, mm-hmm. and that just isn't exactly fair.
And do you know one of the ways that we could fix that? Do you know what one of the answers could be?
I don't really know, actually.
Well, I'm going to tell you. there's something, and I believe I've talked to you guys about this before, and I won't go on and on. I encourage you to look it up on your own. But there was something called the Equal Rights Amendment that was written back when, just after women got the right to vote. There was a woman named Alice Paul, and she led the charge to get women the right to vote in this country. And then once that passed, which was the 19th Amendment to the United States, I think it was passed in 1920, I believe. I believe in 1923, she wrote the Equal Rights Amendment, and it was kind of like a follow-up, because the right to vote isn't full equality, as you know. So the Equal Rights Amendment, basically, it just means, here's the text of the whole amendment. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state on account of sex. So basically that means you can't discriminate against somebody because of their gender, period. It's not a woman's amendment. It's just saying that nobody can be discriminated against based on the fact that they're a male or a female or whatever gender they identify as. So the long and short about that is it really had a lot of momentum back in the 1970s. It takes 38 states to vote on and to ratify an amendment. And we got 35 states because back in the 1970s, there was this whole women's rights movement and it was very exciting. And then after 35 states had ratified it, there was this woman named Phyllis Schlafly. She came along. She told a bunch of lies about what equality would mean. And then it's kind of halted. And so then there was a deadline put on the Equal Rights Amendment, which really would affect women more than men because women get discriminated against more than men do. There was a deadline, and then that deadline expired. Boom, it's expired. It expired, in, I think, in 1982. So if we could remove that expired deadline, if we could get Congress to vote on that, to lift it, and then we could get those last three states ratified, we would have an equal rights amendment in our constitution. And what you were talking about, Anime, is one of the things that is unfair is pay, women's pay. But there's also pregnancy discrimination. Like if a woman is at work and she's pregnant, she could lose her job or she might not get paid because she has to take some time off for being pregnant. And there's a couple of other things that the equal rights amendment would really help. But it's going to take people understanding, because 70 to 80% of people, not just women, but everybody in this country doesn't even realize that we don't have an equal rights amendment. And they do think that men and women are equal, but we're not. And it's not to say that we don't have, of course, women have come a long way and we're much better off than we were in the 1950s. But that doesn't mean that we're finished. And really, I look to your generation to help us, to help the people of today. And hopefully as we move forward, as you guys get older, to help push this thing, because this is about you. It's about you and your life and your children's lives and your friends' lives. And I think it's interesting that, a lot of people believe that either we are equal or we should be equal, but we don't have this in the Constitution. And we're like the only, big country that doesn't have it. A lot of other smaller countries have an equal rights amendment. It's just kind of interesting to me, and it makes me sad. So there's my little history lesson for you. I'm gonna change up to, what about now? I want to ask you about the boys in your class. You mentioned that a lot of boys in your class wanted to see Hillary Clinton as president, or they wanted to see a woman president. What's the general overall feeling with girls and boys? Do you guys get along? Do you guys have arguments about men and women and their roles? What do you see?
I don't think that our school is sexist at all. A lot of groups of kids around are mixed, are a large mix of boys and girls will treat boys equally and boys will treat girls the same. And we never have arguments, at least in my classroom, about if girls are better or boys are better.
Well, that's encouraging. What about you, Anime?
Yeah, guys, if fourth graders can do it, then you can do it too.
There you go. But what do you see, Anime?
Through sixth graders can do it.
Yeah. Do you see the boys in your class, Anime, behaving any particular way towards girls?
No, pretty much what Molly said. A lot of the guys in my classes were also very supportive of Hillary, and they a lot of groups of friends at my school are, like, mixed genders, and they're all, like, very respectful, and including some of my friends, and they're all very, very, like, pro-feminism, huh. Like, pro-equality.
Right.
And I don't really see it as a problem at my school at all.
When you say mixed gender, do you just mean a mix of girls and guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the last thing I want to bring up, since I'm very happy, actually, to hear what you're saying about equality and people your age and how you guys are seeing things, I wanted to kind of bring up the idea that, do you guys know, I guess I should say or ask, that you can make your voice heard with the elected representatives that we have now? So, like, senators and House representatives, do you realize that you have power?
Yeah.
How do you think you can exercise your power?
Well, you could make an informing social media account. You mm-hmm. could write a letter. You could make a phone call or start a movement, like, on social media. You could say, this is what I believe in, this is what I think should happen, or this is what's slowly starting to happen,
mm-hmm.
and how we can fix it or how we can make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think that I'll give you an example of one of the times that I saw that I actually, as a citizen, that I had power, is I was working on, there is a movement, I explained to you about the Equal Rights Amendment, so there's a movement right now to get that expiration lifted, right? So if we can lift that expiration, then we could get the last three states to ratify the amendment, and then it'll automatically go into the Constitution. So there are a group of activists out there who are putting pressure on Democratic, well, and Republican too, Democratic and Republican senators and representatives to sign on. It's not a vote, but to sign on to a resolution to say that they would be supporting removing that deadline. So There is a guy named Mark Warner. He's in Virginia. He's a senator. And a lot of women activists for the ERA were visiting his office, and they were asking him to please sign this resolution. And it wasn't a vote. It was just to let us know that he would have our backs and push it when, you know, push it for a vote. So women were visiting his office, and nobody was really getting anywhere, and he wasn't signing on to the resolution. And so these women knew that I wrote for a blog and that I was able to put this blog out, and a lot of people would see it. So I called Mark Warner's office, and I let them know that, first of all, I just said, you know, I write for this blog, and I found out that, you know, he's not going to be signing on to, or he's not signing on to this resolution. And if he plans to not sign on, I'd like, maybe he could give me a statement as to why not. So of course, we're not getting anywhere. And we keep, you know, the women keep visiting his office. I keep sending messages and calling him, and we're just getting ignored. And finally, I wrote a blog about him, and it didn't make him look good, because he wasn't giving us any kind of an answer either way, and we were getting impatient. So so it wasn't a very favorable blog. And, you know, here I'm, like, a Democrat, I'm a progressive, and he's a Democrat. So of course he doesn't want to be picked on by another Democrat. He's used to maybe Republicans picking on him, but not a Democrat. So I told them that I was going to release this blog on Monday. I gave them all of the text of the blog. I was still ignored. So I released the blog. And when I did that, I think it took like a day. And he said he was going to sign it. And he wound up signing it. And it was because we put that pressure on him. And I think it's really important for you guys to know that, because, and everybody, I wrote a book and I explained all of this in my book, American Woman. We actually, as citizens, have a lot of power. Sometimes we have, you know, if there's a blogger that you know that has a really big audience and is willing to write something like this, we have to always be polite, and we have to let them know, you know, what we're thinking in a polite way. But if they're going to ignore us, they have to recognize that they're going to have to answer to us if they don't want to, you know, listen to what we're saying. So I wanted to share that story with you because I know that, you know, right now you're still fairly young, but as you age and you watch things happen in politics, just recognize that you have a lot of power as individuals. It's like Anna May said, you could start things on social media, you can get discussions going, you can talk with your friends, and there are all kinds of things that you can do to participate to help make the country into a place that you think is a better place, and that you really do have that power. So there.
there.
Well, I just want to say thank you guys, because is there anything you want to end on?
Well, I just wanted to say, speaking of feminism,
mm-hmm.
there is a movie that's a documentary called Embrace
mm-hmm.
about women and social media and your body image and how you see yourself and how you can feel about those kinds of things. And it's a really, really great movie.
I like it.
And I would definitely recommend it for anybody to go see. It's a really great, like, feel happy movie.
It's called Embrace.
Embrace.
And it basically focuses on loving yourself and loving your body and all of that?
Yeah,
it's about a woman who wanted to change how she looked after she had 3 children.
Mm-hmm.
But then mm-hmm. she realized that she has other children and what her children might do just because she did this one thing. But no.
Hmm.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Cut that out.
No.
That's not accurate, Molly.
Yes,
that's not what happened.
What's your take, Anime?
She goes on a journey.
So, there's this woman, and she had 3 children, and afterwards, she was upset with the way that her body looked. And then she decided, I just can't take this anymore. I'm going to get plastic surgery. And then she thought, how is this going to affect my daughter?
Mm-hmm.
What is she going to think? How is this going to fix anything? And so she didn't. Instead, she went and she got fit and she got healthy and she loved her body, but it was way too much work and stress and just to keep society's perfect body image.
Mm-hmm.
To maintain that. And so she's a completely healthy person, but she just stayed herself. She didn't work herself to stay exactly how society wants to see you, how they want to see you look. She's just a healthy, normal person that loves her body, but she's not what people expected. She's not like, she is definitely not the supermodel
right.
type person that she used to be. She just accepted that it's not a good thing to do to yourself, to put yourself under that much strain just to look the way you want to.
Yeah, that's something that, I mean, I would like to see that movie. I know that you guys were going to go see it, and I wanted to see it. Unfortunately, I'm helping my mom move right now, and I just don't have the time. But maybe one day after my mom is gone, we can go see it again together. Because it sounds like something that I would really like to see, because I don't know if you guys know too much about me, but I used to be an actress. I lived in Los Angeles and I was an actress. And even before I became an actress, I was very, you know, hard on myself, and I still battle with that, with the way that I look. And I know, I, like, my mind, my logic side, the logical side of my mind, knows that I'm being ridiculous. Yet there's that other side of me that I, you know, I have to battle with, and you know, to remind myself that it's not all about looking perfect or looking what the way society wants me to look. And I'm glad that this movie is out, because especially when young people see it, when you see it as a young person, it sticks with you, and it gives you a good foundation and a good solid, you know, foundation to feel like it's okay to just to love yourself, and that you know you're not less than because you're not what society thinks is perfect. And by the way, a lot of times, like in a magazine, when you're opening magazines and you're seeing all these women, like in Glamour or you know, some of these women's magazines, these women are already so impossibly skinny, yeah. And they don't eat enough.
Make them skinnier.
Pardon me?
They use the computer to make them look skinny. And
they also use Photoshop.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Okay. Not really beautiful, because it's creepy how they're so skinny.
Yeah, and sometimes they're made to even look skinnier than they really are. So, and then what's even stranger, and I just found this out, is that there are some models out there who are really, really super skinny, and they look too skinny when they're photographed. So the people at the magazines will Photoshop them to actually make them look rounder. And yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's so horrible. And it's like, women put themselves through so much for when we see things like this out there. So it is very important to embrace yourself and to love yourself. And I'm glad that you guys saw that. And maybe we can all go see it together another time.
Put out that message that skinny is beautiful, even though a lot of people that some people would say are fat are very, very healthy,
mm-hmm.
and they are actually fit, and they can do a lot of things that a lot of skinny people can't, and a lot of skinny people are unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't eat well, and they're not fit, but they're still skinny. And so it's just putting out that bad message that you have to look a certain way, otherwise you're not healthy, you're not accepted.
Or valuable.
Yeah.
But you can really be a healthy person without being super, super skinny.
Yeah. Well, if you're super, super skinny, you're not necessarily healthy.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I think that's an interesting conversation, and I'm really glad that you guys were able to talk with me today. I think my audience is going to like what you have to say. So thank you so much.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.